Okay, so let's go deeper into these ideas and spend a little bit of time introducing these three big topics that we're covering in this masterclass. This first question, do you retire or not, can be a really hard question to answer, can't it? And of course, the question is really, do you retire now or not? Because you will be retiring at some point. And this can be a hard thing for many people. A number of Goldman partners have said to me that they never want to retire. They love what they do. It keeps them engaged. Goldman has such an all-encompassing culture. They're still young. They feel like there's so much more that's left in them. They don't really know what else they would do. Yet, at some point you are retiring. So it's not just a matter of how do you answer this question. Is how do you navigate all the dynamics around it? It can be real tricky, can't it? On the surface level, you've got a lot of practical questions that can be hard to answer, like, do you have enough money? How much money do you really need? What do you want that money for? Have you achieved enough? Do you really feel like you've done the things that you wanted to do in your career? Is there another phase? More impact that you want to have at Goldman or that you can have with your clients or inside your business in some way? And these questions themselves can be hard to navigate, yet also there's some deeper level stuff at work, isn't there? A number of clients who I've worked with on this type of project, do you retire now, do you not? What they discovered was, as we went deeper into their mind and into what they were really thinking, was that there was other things that were really driving them. Questions like, am I still really adding the type of value that I want to be adding in the firm? Or does the firm really want me to stay? And for a number of clients, what we discovered is as we went deeper into these topics, that some of these things were in their mind. And that it was about aligning what they really wanted to achieve at this point in their career with what was possible inside the firm. As I mentioned earlier, a number of clients I worked with on this process really doubled down inside their careers and took their careers to an entirely different level. This wasn't what we expected from the work that we started, but as we dug more into these topics, it was the process itself that led them to these answers. And so you see, as I mentioned earlier, what we're doing in this program is, rather than confronting these hard questions that you can't answer, do you retire or not? We're converting them to a process so that you can explore them in the right way and be led to the right answers over time. Part of this too, on this first question, is recognizing that it's the structure of the question itself and all the things that the word retirement or retired connotes that can keep us stuck and make it hard to answer. Just think about that word for a moment. Retired. That means when you put re in front of a word, often it means to do it again. So it means you're tired, doesn't it? Or worn out. Or retired, like that piece of machinery that's been put out the back of the factory. Right? It means that you stop, that you're past your best days. And yet, for many people at Goldman Sachs, by the time you're thinking about retirement, you're still young. In many ways, you might even be at the top of your game. With the professional network and the skills and the experience that you've built up over all this time, you might be more valuable than you've been at any other point in your career. And so the word itself can really be in conflict with what you perceive is still left in you for your career and life. As I talked about earlier too, the structure of the question itself can keep us stuck. This notion of the exclusive or question. Do you do this or do you do that? And often when we're confronted with these types of questions, they can be hard for us to think through. These so-called forced choice experiments done in psychology, when our brain is forced to choose, if we don't have an answer, we go into stress and overwhelm and fear and uncertainty, and we all recognize it. We don't make our best decisions from that type of state of mind, do we? So navigating this choice can be hard for lots of reasons, including the very structure of the question can make it hard. And even though we're faced with all sorts of these questions throughout our career, graduating college, do you take this job or that job? Do you go to business school or not? Coming out, do you take another job? Do you keep going on this path? At different points in your career, when you've had other options, do you stay on the status quo track or move to a different path? And so even though these types of questions are common, we often don't have a good way of working through them. So we end up with basic approaches like lists of pros and cons, and that forces us to try and trade one thing off for another, where no matter what choice we make, it's going to be suboptimal, just the one with the least trade-offs. And so forced to choose, we can find it hard to work our way through these questions, which, as you'll see, in converting it to a process, what you're seeing is, if the question itself is hard, do you retire or not? It's just because you need more intel. So if you think about it this way, if you had five incredible options right in front of you, would it be a hard question to answer? No, of course not. It'd be an easy question. Maybe you've got two incredible options for staying at Goldman. It's a no-brainer. Or three incredible options for leaving. It becomes very easy for you to decide because one of your options is so compelling that you can make this decision. But if it's not, you lack the information you need. You're just trading stuff off. Whereas what we're doing is converting it to a process so you can reach the right decision over time. See, and really, this is what's going on when you're asking yourself this question, do you retire or not? One of the problems with the word retiring is that it implies it's a point in time, like marriage. Do you get married or not? Isn't about standing there at the altar on your wedding day, is it? It's not about that day you get married. It's about that journey, that lifetime of being married. And the same is true with this word retire. It's backward looking. It focuses on what you're leaving behind. As we talked about earlier, us humans have that loss aversion bias, don't we? And so the word itself can get us focused on what we're losing or leaving or what's behind us, when instead converting it to a process, now you're seeing it as a journey. Now you're seeing it much more like a transition from what you were doing in the past to what you're doing next. Because no matter what you're doing next, you're doing something. Even if you're retiring to do nothing, that nothing is something. Or maybe you're going to do something full-time or part-time. That whatever you're doing is all about this transition from what you have been doing to what you're doing next. So even the structure of the question, do you retire or not, it implies it's a binary choice, but is it? There could be a number of options to stay at the firm, or a number of options in leaving. And stated a different way, do you retire or not isn't a binary choice. It's, do you keep doing the one thing that you have been doing, or anything but that? You see, it's really an infinite choice. And it becomes an infinite choice when you convert that stuck type question into a process that enables you to keep moving forward, making the right decision at the right point in time. And this is how we're navigating this question, do you retire or not? So you don't get stuck with it being contingent on, well, depends on what I'm going to do next. Okay, so now what? What am I going to do next? I don't know. Well, do I retire or not? I don't know. But by separating them into separate questions and turning them to a process, what you'll find is that we are much more easily navigating this question and all the dynamics around it. And this leads us to the second big question. If you're retiring, what next? What are those potential options? How do you explore your options? Again, what we're going to do is take that question that can keep us stuck. Well, I don't really know. Well, it could be this. It could be that. It could be the other thing over here. And converting it to a process for making the right decisions at the right time. Because that too is where we get stuck on this one, isn't it? Even if you've made the decision to retire or you're being retired for some other reason, it can be overwhelming to look at all the things that you might do and not know how to choose. As we talked about, even though there might only be these three big buckets of, well, you do nothing, productive, what we think of as doing anything, or you do something full-time, or do something part-time, even as the way we ran through it, there's still a lot of things that might fall into that, right? Doing anything could mean doing anything. Traveling, restoring a house, restoring cars, hobbies, raising a family. Could be a really vast range of things, and so there might be a lot of choices there. Full-time, we hit on some of those choices. And again, that can be really consuming to think about, would you want to go into government or into corporate? Even staying on Wall Street in a different role, certainly starting your own firm. Every one of these paths can be so consuming in the way that you think about it. And so too is the notion of part-time. That even though it might seem like a simple idea, well, I'm going to join some boards. Which boards? For what purpose? What's your path to getting there? How do you imagine that experience to be? Is it really the right move for you? What's the balance of doing that and the other mixed grill of sorts, things that you might do? So even if there's only these three big buckets, oh, there can be a lot of choice in there, can't there? And this in itself can get us stuck. As we'll go deeper into when we hit this topic in track three, generally we perceive that choice is a good thing, but the more choice, and this is the paradox of choice, the harder it can be to choose. Because now we've got more things to consider. Now we've got what's called more decision regret. For every choice that you make, you've got even more choices that you didn't make. So just exploring your options and navigating your range of choices can be hard. And then there's still a whole bunch of real practical questions, isn't there? Like, what is this phase of your life really about? What do you want to do with your time? Do you still want to be making money? Perhaps you have kids at home and you want to spend more time with your family, but also as you hear from people, it's also good to have that balance of time away from your family too, isn't it? And also you hear from people on these topics that they're concerned about the impression that they set for their kids. If they're young and they're retired and they're not engaged in things, they want to be showing their kids that they're really focused on things of great purpose or having impact or doing things that are meaningful in the world. And these types of topics can be hard to work through as well, can't they? So we get stuck. Not knowing the answers to these questions, we can find ourselves, well, not really feeling like we can make a decision. And not knowing how to move forward. And then we're thinking about all these potential choices, and that, oh, we really got to figure this out. And so it can become very overwhelming and anxious when Ultimately, it should be perhaps the greatest phase of your life. When instead of seeing it like looking out there and jumping off a cliff, or seeing this big black hole, this abyss of being retired, you can be looking out and imagining the absolute most grandest version of this phase and the rest of your life. And this is how we are coming at this topic in this program. Instead of seeing it like one of those stuck questions, what I want, really got to figure it out. We're again converting it to a process to explore your options. And where this process begins is with your grandest visions. And this was one of my grandest discoveries over some 10 years of figuring this out for myself. What you hear me talk about is the dirty secret of what do you want. And that is that you don't need to know what you want in order to get it. Because once again, where we get stuck, it's not in not knowing what you want. You get stuck because in not knowing what you want, you're no longer moving forward. And the dirty secret is that if you allow not knowing what you want to keep you stuck, then you'll stay stuck. But if you just allow yourself to see it as a journey, as a process, then you can find a way forward. And the process that we begin with sounds incredibly simple. It is very, very powerful. If you don't know what you want, just imagine a number of different things that you want. Not to get specific, not to think that you need to know, but just start with those grandest visions. To just see, at some point in the future, what might it look like? You might say, well, there's one scenario where it's awesome and I'm hanging with my family. I've got some other things going on. Spending time with friends. I've got this great balance of things. Awesome. Or you might say, there's a full-time option in there that I find this really amazing gig that's so all-encompassing, having a ton of impact. Maybe you want to make tons more money. Great. Were you hanging out working with people you really want to be around? How does that vision look for you? Or there's a part-time vision, bringing together a mix of lots of different things that you like to do. And again, you don't need to know what it is. In starting with this grandest vision, now you're giving yourself something to move towards. Giving yourself something that feels exciting. And imagining these different grandest visions for yourself. Now, you've got a target to move towards. So instead of being stuck at that question, oh, I just don't know what I want and really got to figure it out. How do I get clear on whether it's this or that? Instead, when you start with your grandest visions, now you've got something to explore. It's like imagining going on a road trip or having a map of the world on your wall and saying you don't need to know all the details of how you might do it or when you might go or how you might get there. Just to have pins on that wall and see there's all these amazing destinations you could imagine having a lot of fun at. And that in itself just gets you excited, it gets you moving. Rather than getting stuck thinking, well, I'd love to go to Spain, but I really have no idea what I'm going to eat for breakfast on the second day. Right? And then you can get stuck asking yourself that question instead of dreaming and scheming. Is it Spain or Portugal? Are you just going on a road trip across the United States? What's the vision of where you might get to? And then that drops us down into the second step of our process, the roadmap. So when you start with these grand visions, Now you see there's lots of ways that you might get there. It's like punching in a destination into a GPS. There's lots of different routes that you might take, even just in Manhattan to get a mile away. You can see there are tons of different roads you can take to get there. So one of my clients said, I just need a path. Great. Make the process your path. If you don't know where you're headed, make the path of figuring it out, the process. We can have these grand visions of different destinations and then just focus on, well, there's lots of different ways you might get there. Say if you're in that second bucket and you want to go into government, that could be a whole bunch of different roles, couldn't it? So you might have a lot of different grand visions for it, which of course connote a lot of different roads to get there. And that's the power of the roadmap. And in fact, the dorkier version of it is called the dual track roadmap. And I say dorky because I named it from the process that you run in investment banking. Do you take a company public or do you sell them? You might not know. The board might decide that what they want to do is run a dual track process to both run that public path and the private option and figure out, let the markets decide, where do you realize the greatest value that you don't need to decide up front? Are you selling? Are you going public? Yes. The process is that you're exploring your options along the way. And that's the power of the roadmap. And the grandest visions is that, like that GPS, you could take a certain road and then change your route. Even when you're along the way, you could change your destination. There's so many ways you could drive from California to Florida. And once you get halfway across the country, you might decide you want to head to New York. You get to choose. Your grandest visions and the roadmaps that take you there. So you see what we're really doing in track three and in exploring your options is converting this question that can keep us stuck. What do you want? What do you want? Into a process that enables you to reach your right answer in the right time. And you hear me talk about the journey and the glide path and how you get there, but it's really the next step that makes this so simple. And I mean by that literally the next step. The way this can get hard and overwhelming is we overthink it. We're thinking 200 steps ahead. But like that GPS, often we don't even know 3 turns ahead, do we? Yet we just know, keep going where you're at and make the next turn. And so the key to making this process feel so easy and removing that anxiety, removing the uncertainty, removing the overwhelm, is you only need to focus on that step that's right in front of you. And that's what we're going to be doing as we work through this second question, exploring your options. And wrapped up in all of these topics is the third big topic that we're covering in this masterclass. And this all comes back to your mind, to how you think about this decision, what retiring means to you, to the real practical implications of, have you made enough money? Is this the time? Are there more things you want to do at Goldman? Are there other really compelling things that you want to leave to do? What really matters to you? And what really matters to you in this phase of your life? What do you truly want? These can be really hard questions to answer, can't they? And as we'll be talking about when we get to track 4, there's a lot of other big questions as well that can make navigating this decision, do you retire or not, and exploring your options incredibly challenging. For instance, there's a whole bunch of stuff that goes down with this, like fear and uncertainty and worry and anxiety that can be really hard on our brains. See, us humans would often prefer a certain suboptimal outcome than having to deal with all the things that come with uncertainty, right? Fear of the unknown, fear of what retiring really means, of moving beyond your comfort zone, of something that you're good at and have been doing for so long. And there's lots of big topics around the question of retiring, the word itself, what it means and what it means to you, that can be really hard to navigate, as we'll talk about as we go deeper into the mind on track 4. The second topic that we're hitting there is, and this one's a real biggie, what sort of muscle memory have you built up in your mind that can make it hard for you to leave? In what ways does working at Goldman mold your mind? Maybe there's fear or anxiety or stress levels that you've been used to living with, and that those muscles have gotten really big and strong in your brain, and it can make it harder for you to think about these decisions that have fear, have anxiety, have overwhelm, and have uncertainty in them. Two, another notion around this, a partner of Goldman reminded me of the phrase that an idle mind is the devil's workshop. See, one of the real challenges on topics of the mind for people leaving Goldman and any intense job like this is, you've spent so many years working a certain way, and so you haven't made time to think about a lot of these topics. Like real basic topics to people, am I happy? These are questions that can get deferred. What really matters to me? What's purposeful? What's meaning? These sorts of big topics can get deferred when you're working 80 hours a week. Yet when you leave, and you now have a lot more time on your hands, well, that idle mind can be the devil's workshop, where so many more of these topics begin spinning in your mind. And as I've seen with a number of clients and other people, those mental muscles that you've built up around, say, worrying about the investment markets all day, every day, can now get redirected to worrying about other things in your life, your health, your kids. Will you have enough money? And all these other things that, if your mind has been conditioned by Goldman, can make it harder for you to retire and get on with your life in the ways that you want to. And the fourth, not only big topic on the mind that we'll be covering in track 4, is a massive, massive topic on the mind. And these are the topics of meaning and purpose, identity, staying valuable, being relevant. Who are you in leaving? As one former partner said to me, it took him years for him to stop when being introduced with people saying, well, I used to work for Goldman Sachs. He realized that it becomes such a thing he would say as part of his identity, in part of conveying who he was, rather than just being able to introduce himself for who he is. And these topics can be real murky. When challenged with topics on the mind, people can find themselves in that devil's workshop, cycling the same ideas over and over, even worse, going and sitting with a shrink, and talking about the same old stuff over and over and over again, versus as we're going to do in this masterclass, working through these topics, setting them up in a way that you have a path through, and then laying out specific practices for how you recondition and train your brain. And the fifth topic on the mind that we dive into is the topic of topics, being fulfilled. See, this is a really big deal, isn't it? A massive deal. That a number of clients have come to me post-retirement because they didn't feel fulfilled. And part of what their brain was seeking was that next thing. So I feel like I need to do another gig or something's missing from my life. And rather than just dive in deep to that question of, okay, so what do you need to figure out? Instead, we started here. What does it mean to be fulfilled? How do you use your brain in a way that you are fulfilled? See, because the perverse aspect to this topic is, if you don't feel fulfilled now with everything you've done in your life, everything you've achieved, all the success you've had, if you don't yet feel fulfilled, then how will that next thing change that? And it won't, and it doesn't. The only thing that can change how we feel about our lives is us. The only way to get fulfilled is to see that it's an inner game and to come back and train the way you're using your body and mind. And again, these are massive, massive topics that people can spend their lives struggling on. And I hope what you're going to find in this track four, when we go deep into the topics of the mind, is that we're laying out ways of thinking about it and specific principles and practices so that you can easily navigate these topics that literally millions and millions of people will never solve in their lifetimes. Okay, so they are the three big topics that we're covering in this masterclass. Now, as we finish up this track, let me just share with you the way that this masterclass is organized. In the next track too, we dive deep into that first question. How do you navigate the decision to retire or not? Hitting on all sorts of ideas like we've been covering in this track. In the following track, in track three, we address that second question. How do you explore your options? So whether you're retiring now or in the future, you're retiring at some point, so how do you set up a process to explore your options? And as we'll talk about, there are glide paths so that rather than reaching the end of your career, like you got to jump off this cliff now, that just like succession planning in the firm, you've got a glide path to go from being fully employed to this next phase. In track four, we go deep, deep into the mind, hitting these five big and massive ideas with two principles and two practices for each. Then in track five, what we do is bring all this together in a much more practical way for getting it done, where I introduce you to a process called the macro process. See, because what we're really doing in track two is setting up how do you navigate this choice, do you retire or not? In track three, we're talking about the underlying process for how do you explore your options. Track four, we're going deep into the mind and aligning your mind with how you do all this. Then in track five, we go specifically into the process of doing it. So we're covering it in theory and covering it in practice, which is what I do specifically for my clients. Then the final track in this program, track six, is a different type of learning. Whereas the first five tracks are training tracks, are much more accustomed to how you've learned in the past, listening to ideas, working through them in the workbook. And track six, you don't have to do any work at all. In fact, you just sit back, close your eyes, and allow this deep learning track to work on you as it brings together all the ideas we've covered in this masterclass, integrating this program deeply in your brain. So I hope you are as fired up as I am about what we're covering in this masterclass, and that you got oodles and oodles and oodles of value from this track. I look forward to catching up with you on the next track, where we go deep into navigating the decision. Do you retire or not?